Most people with an opioid use disorder are not in treatment, but research shows those with Medicaid are a lot more likely to get care. This week, we're exploring how expanding Medicaid can improve access. Florida is one of 10 states choosing not to expand the program. Today, WUSF's Stephanie Colombini reports how recent disruptions in coverage made it harder for some to get treatment.
Getting methadone was hard enough for Stephanie when she moved to Citrus County from Indiana last spring. The nearest clinic was far away, and she needed help with transportation. But at least she didn't have to worry about paying for care.
When I first moved down here, I got my insurance with no problem at all.
We're not using Stephanie's last name because her younger kids don't know she's been taking methadone for nearly a decade. Stephanie's 38 and hasn't found a job since moving. So as a parent with essentially no income, she qualified for Medicaid in Florida despite the state's tight restrictions. It covers the methadone she needs to reduce opioid cravings and withdrawal sickness, and it pays for counseling. So it was devastating when Stephanie showed up to a clinic last summer and learned she'd been dropped.
I didn't even know I didn't have it until I was at the window one day, and they're like, well, you owe a balance of like $400. I'm like, what?
States began redetermining Medicaid eligibility last year for the first time since the coronavirus pandemic began. Millions have lost coverage, including some who still qualify. Stephanie says administrators miscalculated her income. It would have cost a little more than $100 a week to pay for her methadone out of pocket, but she couldn't afford that. Stephanie feared a disruption in care would trigger painful withdrawal.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so sick. How am I going to get up and take care of the kids?
Not having health insurance is one of many barriers that can keep people who struggle with opioid use from getting life-saving treatment. Critics of using medications like methadone and buprenorphine to treat addiction cast it as changing one drug for another. But there's overwhelming evidence these treatments reduce overdose deaths and can curb illegal drug use. Dawn Jackson helps people with low incomes access these meds with the nonprofit Operation PAR.
People shouldn't have to choose between putting food on the table and getting the treatment they need to live healthy lives.
The group serves nearly 4,000 clients at medication treatment centers along Florida's Gulf Coast. It relies on state and federal grants to treat people who can't pay. PAR was able to bring Stephanie's cost down to $30 a week. That was low enough for her to stick with treatment.
Am I all checked in, ready to go?
Even better, the group opened a clinic near Stephanie's home in Citrus last fall, the first in the county. That's made it easier for her to get her methadone doses each week.
Thank you, hon. Mm-hmm.
It took 6 months for Stephanie to get her Medicaid reinstated. She's grateful she never had to go without her medicine.
All the things that some people take for granted, you know, just waking up every day and feeling good enough to do your whole day, you know, it's helped me a lot.
Still, that was a stressful time for her. And for Operation PAR, officials say the Medicaid population across all their clinics has dropped by about a third since the unwinding began. Had Florida expanded Medicaid, many of those people would likely still qualify. Jackson directs a Citrus clinic. She says for months there was a waiting list for financial aid, and some clients couldn't pay at all. The clinic was struggling to keep them in treatment.
Turning people away over money is the last thing we want to do. But we also know that we can't treat everybody for free.
They cleared the wait list in March when money from Florida's lawsuits against opioid makers and pharmacies came in to alleviate the strain. The state expects to get about $3 billion over the next couple decades, and it's devoting big chunks of initial payments to medication treatment programs. Melanie Brown-Wufter advocates for treatment providers as president of the Florida Behavioral Health Association. She says the settlement money, on top of existing efforts, should provide ample resources to treat people without insurance. She says more focus should be on getting people into care and is skeptical the state needs Medicaid expansion to do that.
We really feel like those who want to access services can receive them.
But Operation PAR official John Essenberg says the current funding system isn't sustainable. He says grants are temporary and often come with strings attached.
The nature of it is that if they can't guarantee grant funding beyond a particular time frame, like beyond a year, it's difficult for agencies to really expand services.
Essenberg says a treatment provider may not open a clinic in a rural area or hire more staff if they're worried grant money may expire. He says that's where more consistent sources of funding, like Medicaid, can help. Still, Essenberg called Medicaid reimbursement rates woefully low. He says the state needs to boost payments to clinics and expand coverage, but he says the investment would be worth it.
It is way more expensive to deal with the inevitable repercussions of untreated opioid use disorder than it is to fund the treatment for it.
Whether it's reducing strain on hospitals or jails, Essenberg says there's lots of ways communities can benefit from helping people with addiction get medical care. But more importantly, he says, it's about saving lives. Stephanie Colombini, WUSF 89.7 News.
You can hear both parts of this report on WUSF.org. Kim Crisberg with Public Health Watch contributed to the stories. They're part of The Holdouts, a project focused on states that have not expanded Medicaid.